Welcome in, everybody. Let's get ready for another edition of Central Region Now, shall we? The exclusive podcast of the RBA Sports Network and a great week of action we've had. And this week a little uneven. We'll talk about it schedule-wise. And then lots more great stuff to come as we get ready to already flip the calendar to February. January took like 20 minutes and it's almost gone. Telling you, fans, the older you get, the quicker they go. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So glad you're with us. Rob with them along with you. Glad you have joined us. Let's talk top 10 polls right off the bat. The brand new RBA Sports Network boys and girls top 10 high school basketball polls go like this. And we'll start with the boys because the big headline from this past week in high school sports was, of course, our game of the week Saturday night. Down at LC Bird at the first annual, and I might add, very successful Bird Classic. That was an afternoon and evening filled with activities, a silent auction, and three big basketball games, all to generate income and to help out the athletic boosters there at LC Bird High School. And thanks to everyone who came out, especially for the big one versus two showdown. It was a packed Chuck Tester Gymnasium. And for those of you who couldn't make it and you listened to it live here on the RBA Sports Network, we were so honored for you to join us. And we had so much fun bringing the action to you where Trinity Episcopal was down most of the night. LC Bird strategy, stretch the floor, press defensively, try to tire out the big men, Baycott Wade, as well as Jacobs. It worked for a while. For Trinity, especially in the first half, just trying to hang on to the basketball. Some of the turnovers forced by the Skyhawks, some of them not. Unforced errors by a team that has not committed many of them this season to get to 18-0 before last night's action. And then they come back, they get a lead, and Pinky Wiley hits a three to retake the lead at 54-52. Bird holds a slight edge until Trinity takes the lead again at 59-58 with 1:08 to go. And then Mario Haskett takes care of business with a great and one. He makes it, 61-59. Jason Wade come up just short on a turnaround on the inside. And then the rebound to LC Bird, and Bird hits some free throws to wrap up the 64-59 victory. Sadly, on that Jason Wade turnaround and the aftermath of that play is Bird got the rebound and Trinity went to try to foul them. Tink Boyd went down holding his left knee. He was helped off the court. We do not know if there is an injury and if there is, to what extent there is. We're hoping Tink is going to be okay and very quickly back to action. LC Bird proved again last night an axiom in sports that I am a firm believer in, and that is defense wins championships. And they took their defensive mindset and their game plan. And my favorite part of that game plan was the ability to trap at half court. I think that really messed up the Trinity rhythm, especially in the first half. The other part of the game, and I want to send a cap and a shout out, take my cap off to Eric Kalinich at the Richmond Times-Dispatch. If you didn't read his article in today's paper about the game, he pretty much summed it up excellently. There's only one thing I would add to it, and that is I think we need to give a shout out to Giles Webster. Giles, big man for the Skyhawks, not normally talked about very much. Pinky Wiley and Mario Haskett, they get a lot of the press. Last night, certainly a big night for Cam Henry. Totally agree with that. But Giles Webster did two things last night in the first half that were important in helping Bird do two things. Number one, build a 9-point lead to go to the break. And number two, have the confidence to withstand what they knew would come, and that was a wave from the Titans, and it did, both in the third quarter and then again late in the contest. Giles Webster did two things. Number one, he showed that he and the Skyhawks were not afraid when they needed to go down low and go up against the big men. Giles ended up with 10 points. The other thing he did was he was not afraid to help stretch out that defense and play wherever necessary, and he forced two big turnovers in that second quarter stretch while Bird was building that 9-point lead and, in my estimation, building their confidence. I think both teams came in very confident, But I think you also have to think that a lot of people were looking at the game going into last night as Trinity with an opportunity to show that they vanquished everyone in the area. You know, they beat Verina in the Times-Dispatch Invitational Final. They beat Henrico on their home floor at the Henrico Holiday Hoops Final. They didn't get to play John Marshall in the Times-Dispatch Invitational because Verina knocked off John Marshall. So here's a chance now to play L.C. Byrd, to beat L.C. Byrd, and to pretty much solidify themselves as number one. L.C. Byrd, on the other hand, wants to keep that number one ranking. We're in our house. Let's go show them that we can hold on against these guys. We can beat these guys. And Webster, Tyreek Williams, showed that they were not afraid, when necessary, to hook it up down there. And that impressed me, especially the work of Giles in the first half. So congratulations to L.C. Byrd, 64-59 victory, 13-0 now on the season. You know, for Trinity Episcopal, now they're 18-1. Okay, they won't have an undefeated season, but their goal is a state championship, and last night doesn't do anything to diminish that goal or make that goal significantly more difficult. Now, I know, and I said this on the broadcast last night, that both head coaches are going to get immeasurable amounts of teaching tools out of the film from this game. For L.C. Byrd going forward, getting ready for Conference 12 in 5A South, and then, of course, Trinity Episcopal in the private school tournament. So hats off to both teams for playing the game. It turned out to be where it would be a one-versus-two battle. I'm sure when it was scheduled months ago, nobody thought, you know, at that particular moment, well, I'm sure it'll be 12-0 versus 18-0 that night, so it'll be great. You just can't anticipate those things. They just happen, and this one happened. And congratulations to both teams on their great start. And for Trinity, got a lot to play for. State championship still ahead. But, of course, they're taking it one game at a time. L.C. Byrd doing the exact same thing, because Byrd's in a very interesting Conference 12 where you've got a Verina team that not only defeated Henrico but pounded Henrico on Friday night to sweep the Warriors in the regular season. I suspect that the Blue Devils probably think, you know what, we don't let L.C. Byrd hit 10 threes in the first half at our house, and we could beat L.C. Byrd at home back in December. And go back a year to the Conference 12 tournament, and Verina held L.C. Byrd to 35 points and beat him, and that was a Byrd team with Charles Faldon. And we all know what he did in the postseason last year, and it was good to see him again last night, playing for Massanutten in the second game of the three games there at the Byrd Classic. So Metoica is improving in Conference 12. Highland Springs, Prince George all want to have a say in it. And so, you know, there's no definite guarantee that L.C. Byrd and Verina are going to be the two teams out of Conference 12 in a one-game situation. Anything can happen. They're certainly the favorites right now, and they're certainly the favorites to have the seeds in that they'd get the byes out of the first round, and that's huge, because if all you have to do is win one game to clinch a region berth rather than two, that's very big. That's also very big over in Conference 11, where Conference 11 only takes the top six teams out of their eight-team conference, and they have four teams play on Saturday, February 11th in first-round action, and the one and two seeds get byes. Mills Godwin looking very good for that number one seed right now. They still have Hermitage, I believe, on their schedule again. Hermitage rising big time here lately, and we'll talk about that in our poll in a moment. Hermitage, you know, in the fight now for seed number two, as Henrico has slipped on a couple of occasions. Remember, Henrico's loss to Trinity Episcopal will not count in the standings. When you figure out Conference 11 or VHSL PowerPoints in any sport, games against private schools or schools from outside the Commonwealth of Virginia do not count. So let's talk top 10. Boys top 10 poll. Number one, L.C. Byrd, as they've been all year. They're now 13-0. Trinity Episcopal holds at number two. It was not decided to drop them in any way, shape, or form. They were 108 away from getting the win at L.C. Byrd, and then things just didn't go their way in the final 68 seconds. So we hold Trinity at two at 18-1. John Marshall holds at number three. Mills Godwin steady at four, and Verina holds steady at five. So top five, exactly the same. The movement is below. Hermitage up three spots now to number six. Hermitage up to six, their best ranking since the start of the season. Monacan falls one to number seven. Henrico falls one to number eight, and St. Christopher's, who also had a loss this past week, falls one to number nine. New to the poll, and new for the first time this year, the Bulldogs of George Wythe at 10-3. They are number 10 in the latest RBA Sports Network Boys Basketball Top 10 poll. Now, for the girls' poll, part of our continuing year of women's sports coverage, using the hashtag RVAW across our social media networks, and thanks to people like Nick Vandelect at the Progress Index and our friends at Monacan Girls Basketball, they're also using the hashtag RVAW as we salute women's sports in the Richmond area as part of the 45th anniversary year of Title IX legislation. Girls top 10. We'll start at the bottom, work our way up this time like we normally do. Number 10, LC Bird. They drop one from last week at number 9 because returning to the poll after a one-week absence at number 9, the team that beat them last week, the James River Rapids. So James River back in the poll after a week absence at 9. At number 8, holding steady and still winning, getting a very impressive win over Glen Allen at Glen Allen Wednesday night in a game we have live tweeted on both Hanover Sports and Henrico Sports. And again, seeing them on Friday night defeating Lee Davis, the At-Lee Raiders now 13-3. Holding steady at number 7 is Hopewell, and holding steady at number 6 is Cosby. Cosby with a good week this past week. Down 1 to number 5, Trinity Episcopal. Down 1 from 3 to 4, St. Catharines. St. Catharines falling to St. Anne's Belfield in BISAA action earlier this week. The move up this week belongs to J.R. Tucker. They are still undefeated, and they have moved past both private schools to number 3. They beat Douglas Freeman at the Weback Pat game on Friday night, and they remain unblemished on the season. Also undefeated, holding steady at 2, Highland Springs, and of course, holding steady and unbeaten at number 1, the Chiefs of Monacan, who are in the top 5 nationally, by the way. And our first opportunity on the broadcast to congratulate Megan Walker on her selection to play in the McDonald's All-American game. That'll be on March 29th at the United Center in Chicago, Illinois. Taja Cole of LC Bird had that honor 2 seasons ago. Taja, of course, now has transferred to the University of Georgia, sitting out this year as you have to by transfer rule, and she'll be eligible to play for the Bulldogs beginning in November. So there you go. Latest girls top 10, Monacan, Highland Springs, J.R. Tucker, the Unbeatens, 1, 2, and 3, St. Catharines, Trinity Episcopal, Cosby, 4, 5, 6, and then it's Hopewell, At-Lee, James River, and LC Bird wrapping up our top 10 girls. Now, the polls are, of course, always available at rvasportsnetwork.com. That is rvasportsnetwork.com. We want to talk for a minute about some things that we're going to be watching in the week to come. And also want to remind you about a very special series of articles that we are now in the midst of here at the RBA Sports Network that we feel are very important, not only interest to the community, but important information to the community, and especially to the student athletes at the high school and the college level that we cover on a regular basis. Monday night, this week, we will be live in Ashland as we are going to be watching number 9 James River in girls basketball take on the Patriots of Patrick Henry. Well, part of that is a little personal for me. Been trying to get to see Patrick Henry and have not been able to see them for a while. And this gives us a chance to see the Patriots. And we're going to try to get a photo gallery up of the Patriots up at our Facebook page for Hanover County Sports. That's facebook.com/Hanover Sports. So that is on Monday evening. Tuesday night, we venture back to Ashland, this time to Randolph-Macon College, as the women's basketball team welcomes in Bridgewater. And it's going to be a pretty special night because there will be 3 Patrick Henry alums on the court at the same time. Amber Lee for Patrick Henry, and the seniors, the Pender twins, Tyler and Jasmine Pender for Bridgewater. They've made 1 appearance 2 years ago at Randolph-Macon. They're coming back this year, and so going to be up there Tuesday night to catch up on the women's basketball team at Randolph-Macon. Haven't seen them in action in a couple of weeks. They're struggling a little bit and need a good win to get back in the thick of the ODAC race, trying to make sure you get into that tournament and you don't have to play a first-round game. You get a top-4 seed, and you get a bye straight to the Salem Civic Center. And so a win Tuesday night is important for Coach Carol LaHaye and company. But going to be nice to see all the Patrick Henry alums together on the court. So that's on Tuesday. Thursday night, we will be live at Metoica High School, and that's our game of the week, live on our YouTube channel, as we're going to have number 7 Monacan coming to Metoica to take on a team that's playing some pretty doggone good basketball right now. They were, I thought, a month ago at Henrico Holiday Hoops was kind of when the gelling got started, so to speak. Terrence Whitfield has been throwing down in points here in recent games. And so Terrence and company will be on their home floor, the Warriors taking on the Chiefs, and we'll have coverage beginning, I believe we go on live at 7 Eastern on Thursday night on the RVA Sports Network. Of course, our schedule always available at all of our websites on the right-hand side of the page, including RVASportsNetwork.com. Friday night, we'll be live at Lee Davis High School. It is the 4th annual Lee Davis Athletic Hall of Fame ceremony and banquet. So we're going to be checking that out, as well as doubleheader basketball action, as it's another rivalry night in Hanover County. The last time these two teams played, they were at Patrick Henry, and that was just after the new year, and that night we were with the Hanover-Atlee game. Well, we flipped the script this week with the Hanover Herald Progress newspaper, and we'll be at Lee Davis to follow the Confederates and the Patriots, the oldest rivalry in the county, in varsity basketball doubleheader action beginning at 6 o'clock. And then next Saturday, we get to go back to Randolph-Macon and get some doubleheader action in. The men and the women both playing. The women will do first at 2 o'clock, and then the men play at 4:30. At this hour on this Sunday evening as we record the podcast, Randolph-Macon is all alone in first place in the ODAC, the Old Dominion Athletic Conference, 8-0, winners of 11 of their last 12. They started 1-4, and they're now 12-5. After getting the win over Lynchburg Saturday at Crenshaw, 72-70. That was a very good game. And we'll have coverage of that in this week's edition of the Herald Progress as well. So each Friday night, because of our association with the Hanover Herald Progress, we get to a different Hanover County rivalry. We've been to every combination so far. And the last one we got to get to next Friday night, February 3rd, will be when Lee Davis goes to Hanover. That game on the 3rd of February. And from what I understand, somebody, if they hit a half-court shot that night, might win a car. So that would be an added bonus if we got to cover that, that's for sure. But this Friday, it's Patrick Henry at Lee Davis doubleheader, and on Saturday we'll be at Randolph-Macon. You notice we didn't say anything about Wednesday. Not sure what we're doing Wednesday yet. Our coverage of Atlantic 10 women's basketball continues. Keep up with that at our special A10 website, which is a10rva.blogspot.com. We give you scores, player of the week information, news, injury updates, and, of course, the latest standings. And they're huge because when we get to the end of February, when the regular season ends, the top two teams in Atlantic 10 women's basketball get a bye straight here to the Richmond Coliseum for quarterfinal action on Friday, March 3rd. The other 12 teams have to play in a first-round game on campus, and it's just like seedings in the NCAA tournament. It'll be 3 versus 14, 4 versus 13, 5-12, 6-11, 7-10, and 8-9. The lower seed goes to the higher seed, and the winners of those games, those 6 teams, join the top 2 seeds in Richmond for the quarterfinals on March 3rd, the semis on Saturday, March 4th, and the championship Sunday, March 5th. And the RVA Sports Network proud again to partner with the Atlantic 10 Conference to promote and give you tip-to-trophy coverage of the 2017 Atlantic 10 Women's Basketball Championship at the Richmond Coliseum. And that's just, what, six and a half weeks away. It'll be here before you know it. Kudos to VCU, Coach Beth O'Boyle and company. They got a very big win at Fordham on Saturday. Fordham had started the conference season 6-0. They're now 6-2 for VCU. That was a huge win to get back into the middle of the pack in the conference race. Again, you want to be in the top 8. You don't want to have to travel to somebody else's home floor in the first round of the Atlantic 10 tournament. So great win for Coach O'Boyle. And congratulations to Kira Robinson. She's not only moving up the all-time list in assist in VCU women's history, she also scored her 1,000th point in the Bronx on Saturday. Congratulations to her. Shout out to Monique Jones at Thomas Dale for her 1,000th career point this past week. Congratulations to her. And a big thank you I need to give to our friends at Swim James River. Cassie, and all the gang over there. They were kind enough to, it worked like this, I'll be honest with you. I was looking at their Facebook page early this past week, and they had put up a sign-up genius, and I noticed that they needed an announcer for their Thursday night meets. So I looked at it, and I thought to myself, well, I plan on going there to cover it and get pictures and such. So I decided, hey, let's go do that. So I signed up and sent her a message and said, hey, Cassie, we planned on coming anyway. We'd love to help you out. So you'll notice that we were a little quiet on Twitter during the event, and we weren't able to get a lot of pictures, but that's because being an announcer at a swim meet's a pretty important task. It's also very time-consuming. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Had a fantastic time with James River, Thomas Dale, Manchester, Matoaka, LC Bird, and also a couple of swimmers from Meadowbrook as well. It's so great to see how swimming has grown in just this, the second season of club swimming in Chesterfield County. I'm crossing my fingers that you join the VHSL crew, if not next year, certainly by 2018-19. Had a great atmosphere and a wonderful time, and glad we were there on Thursday night for that event. Lots of things coming up here in the next several weeks. We're going to be getting into conference tournament action in sports other than basketball very soon, a little over 2 weeks away for gymnastics, 2 weeks away for wrestling, 2 weeks away for track, and also 2 weeks away for swimming. And those seasons are done, except for track, usually by the 18th of February. Track, I think, gets an extra week to the 25th. So I know we're going to be basketball heavy when we get to tournament time, which kicks off on February 11th. But we want to also keep an eye on and give you all the information we can and cover as much as we can of the other events going on in other sports and not be neglectful of wrestling and gymnastics and swimming, et cetera, et cetera. One of our mottos here is all schools, all sports. One of the reasons why we do our coverage on Twitter the way we do, hyper-local, so that you can follow your favorite school at your favorite Twitter feed. If you're in Hanover County, you follow Hanover Sports. If you're in Henrico, Henrico Sports. If you're in Chesterfield, Chesterfield Sports. If you're in the city of Richmond, the Tri-Cities or surrounding counties, or at a private school, just follow the RVA Sportsnet, and you're thinking, well, I want to find out what's happening everywhere. Don't worry. We constantly retweet final scores and headlines from our hyperlocal feeds in the suburban counties on the RVA Sportsnet, so you won't miss any action. So you can follow one feed, you can follow as many as you want. We make the coverage tailor-made for you. And occasionally, we'll even what we call simul-tweet, as we did last night at that LC Bird Trinity Episcopal game. We broadcast the game on YouTube and at the same time got you Twitter updates on both Chesterfield Sports and at the RVA Sportsnet. One more piece of business before we wrap this podcast up, and that is to remind you of the current series that we are producing, a very, very, we feel, important series of three articles in conjunction with the RVA Sports Network and the Hanover Herald Progress, and a work that has been going on several months in the making, on student-athletes and mental health. And I want to give a public thank you to former Atlee and former University of Virginia volleyball standout Carly Suber, who was very, very kind enough to sit down and talk with me on a Saturday morning a couple of months ago. She opened up late last spring, created a blog, and put a blog post up discussing her battle with depression and her battle with other issues that had, you know, put a lot of stress and strain on her during a time that's supposed to be a glorious time in your life. You come off a great career where, you know, Atlee went to the state tournament year after year. They made the state final her senior year and almost won the state championship. And then, you know, she gets to go and play volleyball in the ACC at the University of Virginia, a program that when she got there as a freshman, they were counting on her and others in her class and the class after her to kind of make it a program on the rise. And, you know, sometimes in life there are things that happen and it throws you curves. And sometimes you're ready for it and sometimes you're not. And there was physical issues and there were mental issues. And there are physical issues, you know, all the time, and we see them. We see a boot. We see a cast. We see a splint. You know, we see somebody who is out because of a concussion, but we don't know what's happening inside. So Carly was kind enough to share her story first publicly on her blog, and then again with me in November, and that is the story that is currently up at RBASportsNetwork.com, a courageous story of how Carly dealt with something that at first when she thought that might be a possibility, she didn't even want to think about. But the more she learned, the more she understood. Not only did she accept what was happening, she battled it head on just like she would a volleyball opponent, and she wants to help others fight that same battle as well. And we're producing this series of articles for especially for you, the student-athlete, whether you are listening to this podcast and you're a senior in high school, a senior in college, an eighth grader, a ninth grader. We know that the pressures that are on you are unique and probably are more so than they've ever been on any generation of student-athletes before. There was no 24/7 coverage on social media before. There's not been Twitter feeds in the past dedicated to just what's happening in recruiting. And if you have a player who's getting 9, 10, 11, 12 offers, you know, and people are following that every move on social media, the pressure can build. And we at the RBA Sports Network, and I've felt this way ever since I started broadcasting Patrick Henry football for WHAN Radio 15 years ago. In my mind, I always remind myself, you are talking about kids between the ages of 14 and 18, depending upon what grade they're in. And we have always got to be mindful of that. We're not talking about a 35-year-old professionally paid athlete. We're talking about somebody who is still growing, who is still maturing, both physically, emotionally, and psychologically. And so while we want to exalt and enjoy the experience with you, if you are a student athlete in that situation, we also know it presents a very special set of circumstances from a psychological standpoint. And that is why we have been working on this series for the last several months. Coming up this week, our article is going to be a profile on a young man who is going to bring to light also another issue of mental health that needs to be made more aware of, and that is the issue of mental health and concussions. And so that article will come out in this Thursday's edition of the Hanover Herald Progress and will be posted also at RBASportsNetwork.com. Our final article, which will appear in the February 2nd issue and be on our website, will be an incredible story of triumph coming out of tragedy. A story that I know many of you already know the first part of, but you don't know all of the insides of it, and you don't know where it has been in the last 2 years. And that's all I'm going to say about it for now. But I just hope that you will either, A, pick up a copy of the Herald Progress if you're in and around Hanover County come Thursday this week and next week so you can continue and be in the series with us. Or if you don't do that or not able to do that, you live in Richmond or Chesterfield or outside the Hanover County area, no problem. That's why we're posting the articles at RBASportsNetwork.com. And my deepest thanks to everyone who has sat down and has talked to us to help make this series of articles a reality, because it was just heavy on our heart to make this an issue that was publicly known, publicly aware, so that if one student athlete who is struggling psychologically reaches out and gets the help they need, then it is worth all the hours of interviews, it is worth all the hours of writing, it is worth every moment of everything. We here at the RBA Sports Network are here to serve you. That is why our motto is sports, family, life. That is why we tweet out weather, traffic, and news information when it is appropriate to the people that we are talking to. And that's why we care about the kids that we cover as well. So thank you for allowing us to bring this awareness into your life and to the life of your family, coaches, to the life of your team. Coaches, I know you know full well that it's easy to see if, you know, somebody's sick or if somebody's injured, but it's not always easy to know if somebody's suffering in the mind, if somebody's suffering in the heart. And some days they can put on a great act and you're not able to penetrate it, but sometimes you are. And so I'm hoping that nothing but positive will come out of this particular series of articles, and it will not be the only thing that we do in this arena either. We will continue to cover the issue as well as promote ways to help student athletes at all levels get the help that they need here from the RBA Sports Network. And that is our goal, and that is our commitment to you. All right, my friends, thanks so much for being with us on this edition of the podcast. This week, Hanover's got exams. Henrico was going to have exams. It's another normal week in Chesterfield, and some other school areas do have exams. So some nights won't have as many games as they've had in usual weeks. And what it does mean is that when we get to Friday night and the exams in areas like Hanover are over, then it's a two-week push to the end of basketball season. And for some schools, less than a week until we get to those conference tournaments, as we mentioned, for gymnastics and other winter sports as well. So stay with us on our Twitter feed. We try to post everywhere we go on Instagram as well at RVA Sports Network. That's RVA Sports Network. And a big thank you for those of you who have joined us on our Twitter pages here recently as well. On our Facebook pages as well. Well, Twitter too, of course. But especially on our Facebook pages. We appreciate you and your support there. You can find the network at facebook.com/RVA Sports Network. There we post news and information and photo galleries and much more. National Signing Day coming up next week, a week from Wednesday, February 1st. We'll have a ton of that coming up. And we've also got Facebook pages up and running all the time at facebook.com/Hanover Sports and facebook.com/Henrico Sports, covering action on the Facebook north of the river. Thanks for being with us for Central Region Now. New top 10 polls, if you missed at the start of the podcast, and if you did, I don't know how you did, but anyway, available at rvasportsnetwork.com. Talk to you Thursday night live from Metoaka, for Monica and Metoaka, Boys Hoops on the Game of the Week. Talk to you then.